Since today is Pesach Sheni, I'm going to begin the shiur with an interesting question that people often don't notice. At the Seder, Pesach night, we eat koirich, we eat a sandwich that contains matzah and chazeres, matzah and morer, the famous koirich sandwich. When we eat it, before we eat it, what do we say? Pesach, matzah, umorer, v'oichlam b'yachad, k'mo shenemar, al matzois, umirorim yoichluhu. Hillel used to wrap together a sandwich, not only with Pesach and morer, but he also had, not only matzah and morer, but he also had the Pesach, he had the lamb chops, or the goat chops, whatever the carbon Pesach was, and he ate it all together in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Like the Pasuk says, Al Matzah Sumerorim Yechlu. Where does this Pasuk say Al Matzah Sumerorim Yechlu? This Pasuk is a Pasuk from Pesach Sheni in Parshas Baal Oyscha. By Pesach Rishon and Parshas Boy, what does it say? V'ochlu es habosor balayla azet sli eish al a umatzois al merorim yechlu. You should eat the Pesach and Matzah together with the Morer. When Hillel wants to, in the middle of the Seder of the first Pesach, Hillel wasn't making a Pesach Sheni, he was making a Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni, you don't eat. You don't eat Morer, you don't eat Koirich. Pesach Rishon, he's eating the Koirich, and he eats Pesach Matzah Mor, K'moy Shenemar al Matzahs Umerorim Yechlu, which is a Pasuk from Parshas Baal Oyscha from Pesach Sheni. And you have a Pasuk for Pesach Rishon. It's very strange. You were already sleeping at the Seder at that point. He didn't think of the Shaila. So they say in the name of the Belzer Rav, the Sar Shalom of Belz, Rav Shalom Rekeach, the first Belzer Rav, who said the following idea. He said, when we, Hillel, of course, was eating it because of the Pasuk and Parshas Boy. But when we're doing the Seder, and we're eating Koirich, and we don't have the Pesach in our sandwich, we only have the matzah and the maror. So when we say Hillel used to do this, K'moy Shenemar, we say the Pasuk from Pesach Sheni, expressing our anticipation and hope that Mashiach would come before Pesach Sheni, and therefore we'll be able to be makir the Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, and therefore we'll be able to eat the Karban Pesach. So as we're eating the Koirich by Pesach Rishon, we don't choose the Pasuk from Pesach Rishon. We choose the Pasuk from Pesach Sheni to express the Jewish hope that there'll still be Al Matzah Sumerayim Yechlu, we'll be able to be makom the Karban Pesach. Somebody said over the Vart to the famous Pesach of that generation, known as the Shoyal Umesh, Rabbi Yosef Shoal Halevi Natanzon, the famous author of Shal Shuvah's Shoyal Umesh, he passed away, I think 1875, Tofri Shlamed Hay, around then. So the Shoyal Umesh said, no, this doesn't make sense. The Gemara says in Masech the Psachim, I think Dav Samach Vav, it says by Pesach Sheni, Ish ki yitomei lenefesh. Zog the Gemara, Ish nitchel Pesach Sheni, ve'ein sibur nitchel Pesach Sheni. An individual who doesn't do the first Pesach can do Pesach Sheni, but ain't Tzibur nitchel Pesach Sheni. The Tzibur is not nitchel Pesach Sheni because the Tzibur could be makav the first Karban Pesach, even in a state of impurity. So therefore, the din of Pesach Sheni is only for an individual or individuals who fail to do Pesach Rishon. So therefore, the Vart of the Belzer Rav wouldn't apply. Here you're dealing with a Tzibur. So somebody sent it over to the Belzer Rav. So he said, Dechgein the Shitta for Nebi Yehuda. In Yerushalmi, in Psachim, the Gemara brings there a machloikas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama says, Ish nitchel Pesach Sheni, v'ein sibur nitchel Pesach Sheni. So therefore, the Yerushalmi asks a question. If the Beis HaMikdash gets built, Nitin lehem liYisrael livnois beis habchira, that's the term. If the Jews are given permission to build a beis hamikdash between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, Tanna Kama says they will not be able to do the Pesach Sheni. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the whole tzibur can do the Pesach Sheni, and he brings a proof from a story of Chizkiah. So he says, Lishitas Rabbi Yehuda, we say by Pesach Rishon al matzah sumerayim yechlu to express the Jewish faith and anticipation that by Pesach Sheni there'll be a carbon Pesach. Now, When it comes to Pesach Sheni, there's an interesting Rashi that I want to begin with. If you'll take a look in your source sheets, Pesach Sheni is introduced in Parshas Bahaloyscha. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shona Hashenis l'tzeis emeretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon lemer. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert the second year after they left Mitzrayim in the first month. It was Nisan, the first anniversary of Yitzias Mitzrayim, meaning the second year around. And what did he say? V'yasu b'nei Yisrael as ha-pesach b'moyadoy. The Jewish people should offer the Korban Pesach in the right time, and he continues on the 14th day in 2 weeks. On the 14th day of Nisan, they should bring either the sheep or the goat and eat it as the Korban Pesach, that Pesach in Midbar Sinai. Zokt Rashi, when did he say this to Moshe? B'chodesh harishon, the first month. Parsha shebereisha sefer lo nemra ad ir. This is Parshas Bahaloyscha. If you open up the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, he speaks to him and tells him to count the Jewish people. When is this? We're at the beginning of Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar of the second year. Parshas Bahaloyscha, you're going back to Nisan. So Bamidbar begins with a story of the month of Iyar. Bahaloyscha, which is two Parshas later, you're going back to Nisan. Lamadata, you learn from here, she'ein seder muktav u'mu'ucha b'Torah. There's no chronological order in Torah earlier and later. V'haraya, Parshas Bamidbar, which precedes Bahaloyscha, tells a story of Iyar. Parshas Bahaloyscha now tells a story of Nisan. This is what Rashi says. Question is known, Rashi says, from here we learn ein muktav u'mu'ucha b'Torah. We have learned it many, many times before. In fact, Rashi himself says it numerous times. Already in Parshas Bereishis, Rashi says at the end of Parshas Bereishis that Noach, Hashem says, I want to bring a flood after the birth of Noach's children. And really, the Gzeira was before the birth of Noach's children. In Parshas Vayishlach, Yitzchak passes away, and Rashi says, Ein muktam amulcha b'teira, because Yosef was sold before Yitzchak passed away. And yet the story of Yosef's sale follows Yitzchak's passing. Rashi says it again in Parshas Shmois, in Yisroi, in Kisisa, in Tzav. But here Rashi says, Lamadata. From here you learn, She'ein muktam amulcha b'teira. Unique expression. So a peep shot, literally, you could say, that here is the only time that the Torah is very detailed about the date, about the time. In the other stories, it says Yitzchak passed away. The Torah is not out to discuss the date. But here, in both stories, in the beginning of Bamidbar, he speaks about the date. It's the beginning of Iyar, the second month. And in Parshas Bahaloyscha, Bashana Hashenis, Bachodesh Harishon, you see the date is important, so you would think, you want me to know the dates. Hence, chronology is vital. Lamadata, from here you learn, She'ein seder muktam u'mu'ucha b'Torah, that's alpi pshat. And yet it seems that there may be something also much deeper, namely, that the idea of ein muktam u'mu'ucha b'Torah, why is it that ein muktam u'mu'ucha b'Torah? Why not? The Shalosh says, it's not just to create chaos. Whenever it's not in order, there is a purpose to it, there's meaning to it. Here we're going to discover from Pesach Sheni a deeper idea. What does it mean there's no order in Torah? There's no before and there's no later in Torah. For this, let's go over to completely another topic. There are many Jews who commemorate Yudalad Iyar Pesach Sheni as the yahrzeit of Reb Meir, the time of Reb Meir. The Stechemed and others have written that there's no source that Yudalad Iyar is the yahrzeit of Reb Meir. However, the Chanukas Habayis on the Matseva, on the tombstone and the edifice, on the tombstone of Reb Meir in Tveria, that happened on Pesach Sheni. So therefore, people associated with the yahrzeit of Reb Meir, and the debate still goes on, what's the connection? Is there a connection between Pesach Sheni and Reb Meir? Whether you maintain, as some do, that it's the yahrzeit of Reb Meir, or that it was the Chanukah Sabayis and his caver, and therefore it has some association with the resting place of Reb Meir in the city of Tiberias, in the city of Tveria, which comes into another question, and that is if Reb Meir of the Mishnah is the same Reb Meir Balhanes in Jewish in Jewish life. There is the Meir Baal Hanes, Reb Meir, the master of miracles. Is it the same Reb Meir? Is it a different Reb Meir? Reb Meir in the Gemara and the Mishnah is not known as Reb Meir Baal Hanes, even though there's a fabulous miracle that occurs with him in Masechta Avodah Zarah when he offers the guard of the prison where his sister-in-law is staying. El Akad, the Meir Aneni, you can always say the God of Meir should answer me and you'll be saved. But probably it's the same person. And Reb Meir Baal Hanes, who is in Tverya, if that's the same Reb Meir, which most scholars, I think, maintain. So the Chanukah Sabayis on his kever in Tverya was Pesach Sheni. Many people are oiled to his kever on Pesach Sheni in Tverya. But whatever the association is on any level, by divine providence, there's some connection between Reb Meir and Pesach Sheni. And even if there's a mistake in it, studying something about Reb Meir, I think we'll be able to illuminate a lot about Pesach Sheni. Who was Reb Meir? Reb Meir lived in the 2nd century after the Common Era. Reb Meir was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was, of course, one of the Tanoim who experienced Churban by his Sheni and was then executed by the Romans, as the Gemara says in Brachas. So Rabbi Meir was the 3rd generation of Tanoim who lived in the 1st century after Churban Beis Hamikdash, which happened in the year 70 after the Common Era. And Rabbi Meir lived approximately 1 century later. He was from the greatest Tanoim, and in fact, I think he is, in all the Mishnah, he is the person, the 3rd to the most frequently mentioned in the whole of the Mishnayos. Hundreds of statements in the name of Reb Meir, opinions of Reb Meir, throughout Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, with numerous stories about him, statements by him, anecdotes by him, and so on and so forth. He was also a student of another man who we're going to discuss today a little bit, Elisha ben Avuya, who becomes a heretic, and everyone abandons him, and yet he remains a student of Elisha ben Avuya, even when everyone rejected Elisha ben Avuya. For a livelihood, he was a soifer. The Gemara says Reb Meir was a soifer, he was a scribe, a laveler. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Peivav, Stam Masnissin Reb Meir. When you're learning Mishnayos, and you read a Mishnah, and the Mishnah doesn't have an author, you assume it's Reb Meir, which of course means that so many Mishnahs, which don't have names, or have names but there's an opinion without a name, Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, because it's his Mishnayos, his views that Reb Yehuda HaNasi took as the basis for editing the entire Shishi Sidri Mishnah. His wife, the Gemara says, was a woman named Bruria, who was the daughter of Reb Chanina ben Tradion, who was one of the Asara Haruge Malchus, one of the 10 people, the 10 of the greatest sages who were executed by the Romans. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah graphically how they killed Reb Chanina ben Tradion, wrapping him up in a Sefer Torah and burning him with the Sefer Torah. And he was a son-in-law, Reb Meir was a son-in-law of Reb Chanina ben Tradion. Today we want to explore one aspect of Reb Meir's life and Reb Meir's teachings. There's a fascinating medrash that has perplexed many. You look in your 3rd source, Bereishis Rabba, Parsha Chaf, Piskei Yud Beis. The medrash quotes the pasuk in Bereishis, after the sin of the tree of knowledge, Adam and Chava suddenly become aware that they don't have clothes and they're embarrassed. Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdam LaIshtoi Kosnas Oy VaYal Bishem. The Ribbono Shel Olam weaves, he makes for Adam and his wife garments of Oy, a fur. Oyr is, of course, the hide of the animal, the fur. He makes kosnas oyr by albishim, and he dresses Adam and Chava. How do you spell oyr? With an ayin. Ayin, vav resh, which is fur, the hide, the skin of an animal. B'toyrosoy shel Reb Meir, zok de medrash. In the Sefer Torah, or in the Torah Reb Meir, Motsu Kosov, they found it was written kosnas oyr, tunics of light. L-I-G-H-T, garments of oyr, of lichtigkeit, of luminescence, rather than kosnas oyr with an ayin. Of course, when you pronounce it, you don't hear the difference, but when you see it, one is with an ayin, one is with an aleph. And the Medrash continues, Elu bigdei Adam HaRishon, these were the garments of Adam HaRishon, and in Reb Meir's Torah, it says oyr with an aleph. This has perplexed many. First of all, what does this mean? It says kosnas oyr, they were naked, and Hashem made for them tunics of oyr, a fur. What's the idea that the customers were made of light rather than iron? Or to put it differently, how is it going to help you in a cold winter in Muncie if you're going to be wearing customers of light rather than customers of fur? But of course, the greater question is, it passes a Sefer Torah. This disqualifies a Sefer Torah to change a letter from an ayin to an aleph. And Reb Meir is a Sefer. And Reb Yishmael once told Reb Meir. Reb Meir was a student of Reb Yishmael as well. He once told him, be careful in your work, because the mistake of one letter can change, destroy the world. It's not just work, you know, labor, you make a little mistake. A mistake in your life is different. And yet the Sefer Torah of Reb Meir has such a blatant mistake. And if this is not enough, we find this once again. Parshas Vayigash, we speak about Yaakov coming down with his family to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. And the Torah goes through Yaakov's family, including Yaakov's children and his grandchildren. But Parshas Vayigash, Perek Memvav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Ubnei Don Chushim. The children of Don, Chushim, there's only one problem. Don had one son, his name was Chushim. He didn't have children, he had one child. Says the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Tzadik Dalet Pisketes, B'Toyroson Shal Reb Meir Matzu Kosov Uben Don Chushim. In the Torah of Reb Meir, it was all fixed. It doesn't say the children of Don are Chushim, the child of Don is Chushim. Here again, Reb Meir's Torah has its own version. There's another Gemara in Masecht Yuma, Daf Pei Gimel, Amid Beis. Reb Meir, your next source. Reb Meir, V'Reb Yehuda, V'Reb Yoisi, have a Ka'azli B'Urcha. Reb Meir and his colleagues, Reb Yehuda and Reb Yoisi, were traveling on the road. Reb Meir, have a Dayik B'Shma. Reb Yehuda, V'Reb Yoisi, Loi, have a Dayik B'Shma. Reb Meir had a custom, he would always look into names. He was very meticulous about people's names. He would study their names. He would expound on their names. He took names very seriously. Reb Yehuda and Reb Yoisi did not. Kimati lahu duchta, they came to a particular city, Bo Ushpiza. They searched for a motel, Motel 6. Yavuluhu, Bo Ushpiza, Yavuluhu. Amru loy mashimcha. So they were looking for a motel, so they gave it to them, they showed them, they come to the hotel, and they meet the owner. They say, what is your name? Amar Luhu, he says, my name is Kidor. That's my name. Amar Reb Meir says, Shema Mina Adam Roshahu, this is not good. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Kidor Tapuchos Hema, Kidor, because it's a generation of what we call topsy-turvy. They transform from good to negativity. The Ribbono Shel Olam says in Parshas Hazinu, Ki Dor Tapuchos Hema, it's an untrusting generation. They change. They change faces, they change colors. Ki Dor! Ki Dor! Ki Dor! Reb Meir doesn't trust him. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? The guy's name is Kidor. What do you want from him? It's his fault. What's this? So they give him, you know, they all have money, so they give it to him so he could deposit it. And Reb Meir goes and he buries it. He buries it in the nearby cemetery. He buries his one nearby cemetery, actually near the grave of this man's father. And this man has a dream that night. His father came to him and said, there's money near my grave, go get it. And he shares the dream, and they tell him, Divrei chaloim is loy mailim v'loy mairidin. It's ridiculous, it's just a dream. Reb Meir is afraid, so Reb Meir goes there a whole Shabbos. A whole Shabbos he's watching, because he's afraid that this kiddur is going to come take his money. Sunday morning, Reb Yosi and Reb Yehuda ask him for his wallet. He says, Loi hoyo dvari mayaylam, I never heard of you, I don't know you, I never have your wallet. Reb Meir goes to the cemetery and retrieves his wallet. So Reb Meir says, I told you to be Mishma. I told you to be meticulous in the name. And the Gemara goes on telling a whole story about how they got the money from his wife. He turned out to be quite a wicked and vicious human being. So Reb Meir takes names very seriously. There's something else about Reb Meir. The last Mishnah Masechta Soita, Mishameis Reb Meir Batlu Moshele Mishalom. Once Reb Meir passes away, the art of masters of metaphor has been eliminated. Why? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Ches Amed Beis. Amar Reb Yochanan Ki Avedarish Reb Meir BePirkei. where the mayor would give a lecture, where the mayor would give a shiur on a section in Torah. Havadorish tilsa shmeitza tilsa agodetsa tilsa masli. A third of the drasha was halacha. A third of the drasha was agoda, homiletics, inspiration, various ideas of ethics, story, etc., explaining chumash, tanach. And a third of the lecture was metaphors. Masli, mishalim, metaphors, illustrations, allegories. V'amir Rabbi Yochanan, gimul meyes mishalois shualim hayulay l'Reb Meir v'anu en lanu ala shalosh. Reb Meir had 300 stories about foxes, and we only know three. And Rashi Dan Sanhedrin goes on to describe a whole long mashal from Reb Meir about a fox with a wolf, a gansa mice with Erev Shabbos. It's not for now, it deserves a separate shiur. Reb Yochanan said we're left with three from 300 mishalim of Reb Meir. He is the master of metaphor. So if somebody gets up today at a drasha, at a shiur, tells jokes, tells stories, tells illustrations, gives mishalim, gives stories, it's not Reb Meir. Mishameish Reb Meir, batul moishle mishalim. So Reb Meir is the ultimate storyteller, but he doesn't just tell stories, he tells metaphors, mishalim, the illustrations, the allegorical illustrations that allow you to understand concepts. Now we come to another fascinating facet of Reb Meir that created controversy not only among the Chachamim, but even Kivayachal by Hashem himself, a Gemara in Chagigah Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, which needs a little introduction. We know of hundreds of Tanoim and Amirayim, the great Talmudic sages who gave us the nucleus of Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral tradition. From all of them, we only know of one who left Judaism. And his name, Elisha ben Avuya. He was one of the greatest. He was a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. He was a Rebbe of Reb Meir. And the whole Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, is Reb Meir. Elisha ben Avuya, like Rabbi Akiva, also lived at the era following the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash in the second century after the Common Era. And although he was one of the greatest of the great, as the Gemara describes in Chagigah, Kitzetz Benetiyus, he completely abandoned Jewish faith, Jewish practice, and not only that, he became an accomplice to the Romans, protected by the Romans, a helper of the Romans. To the point, the Gemara tells a story that Elisha ben Avuya, who was considered one of the G'dayli Hador, so you can imagine the scene, goes over to a Zoyna, he goes over to a harlot, and he asks her for her services. She looks at him and she says, Chagigah Daf Tesvav, V'lav Elisha ben Avuya, I don't understand. You're Elisha ben Avuya. I don't work with people like you. You? It was Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Elisha ben Avuya plucked a radish from the earth, which is one of the Avos Melachos. It's one of the Melachos forbidden in HaTorah. So she says, ah, you must be Acherat v'lav Elisha ben Avuya. You must be somebody else. And that name stuck. That name of that woman who said, you're Acher, you're somebody else, it stuck. Ad Hayoyim, when we refer to Elisha ben Avuya in Chazal, and there's, I think, eight statements of Elisha ben Avuya quoted in Shas, including in Pirkei Avos, which we're going to learn next Shabbos, we'll soon see. He is identified usually not by his name. How is he identified? Acher. Acher means the other one, the stranger, the foreigner, the alien, I guess the UFO. Although he was identified. That's the name Acher. Naturally, when this occurs, everyone leaves him. One man sticks with him, Reb Meir. Now, Elisha ben Avuya was certainly brilliant. Nobody ever doubted that. And the Gemara describes that it was Shabbos. And Elisha ben Avuya was horseback riding on Shabbos. It's a weekend. You go horseback riding. Now, horseback riding is not a biblical prohibition. It's a shvus. Mishnah and Beitza, the Chachamim instituted that you don't ride a horse on Shabbos. Shema yachtach zmaira, you may pluck a branch off a tree, which is a biblical prohibition. And Reb Meir walks and follows Elisha ben Avuya, because Elisha ben Avuya is giving a shiur while he's horseback riding. And where can you get a shiur as geschmack, as a shiur that he's given while he's horseback riding? So Reb Meir is running after him, and Elisha ben Avuya is speaking. This was the relationship, and this is the context of the story we're now going to experience, observe. Zog de Gemara in Chagigah Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, Bitoy Shel Acher Asi LeKamei DeRebi. The daughter of Acher, the daughter of Elisha ben Avuya, who the Gemara calls Acher, the alien, the stranger, comes to Rebbe. Rebbe is, of course, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the editor of the Mishnah, who lives in the next generation. Relesh, he says, Rebbe Parneseni. Rebbe, sustain me. Omar Lo, Rebbe says, Bas mi'at? Who are you? Whose daughter are you? Amraloi bitay shel acher ani. I am Acher's daughter. I don't know if she said the word Acher, or if she said Elisha ben Avuya. The Gemara is saying Acher. It's hard to know. Omar Lo, he tells her, Adayin yesh mi zari mo'ayla? Acher has still descendants living? V'haksiv, there's a pasuk in Iyot. When you're dealing with such negativity, there will be no descendants, no grandchildren, and nothing left over in his habitation. Rebbe saw Elisha ben Avuya as the embodiment of such negative behavior because of his previous position. He was unique. He was real. He was distinct. This wasn't just, you know, what they say, a regular person who left. Amra loy, listen, akluge yiddish amedala. Amra loy, she says, Rebbe, schor le terasai va'al tisker maisav. Remember my father's Torah. Don't focus on his actions. Miyad yorda eish v'sichsicha safsoli shal Rebbe. A fire descends and burns up. Singes the cheer, the bench of Rebbe. Rebbe's bench is singed by the fire. Bacha! Va'omar Rebbe. Rebbe starts crying. And what does he say? Umalim is ganin bakach, lemishtapchin ba'alach is kama v'kama. If this is the dignity with which the Ribbono Shel Olam treats those who were embarrassed by their association with Torah. Elisha ben Avuya felt disgraced by his association with Torah. He tried to run away from it, and yet, because of his association with Torah, even if it was negative, this is the dignity his daughter is afforded. Those who praise themselves for their association with Torah, how much dignity do they embody? How did the mayor learn Torah from the mouth of Ach? We have a teaching. The pasuk says, "Malachi peirik beis." Kisif seikoyin yishmeru das v'toyre yivakshu mipiyu. Ki malach Hashem tzva oisu. The lips of the koyin will preserve knowledge. You should search for Torah from his mouth because he's an angel of Hashem. Im doim arav le malach Hashem tzva kois yivakshu Torah mipiyu. V'im lav al yivakshu Torah mipiyu. The criteria to learn Torah from a Rebbe is if he's compared to a malach Hashem tzva kois. How can then Reb Meir violate this injunction in Malachi and go learn Torah from Elisha ben Avuya? And here I know it's completely out of the subject, or maybe it's not actually. There's an incredibly beautiful interpretation from the Panim Yafis, I think in his introduction. Panim Yafis is a commentary on Chumash that was written by the Baal Hafla, Reb Pinchas. Hafla is Harav Pinchas Levi Ish Horowitz. Reb Pinchas Ish Horowitz, who was the rabbi of Frankfurt in Germany, was a student of the Maggid of Mizrich. He wrote the famous book, Sefer HaMakna, Masechta Kedushin, Hafla, Masechta Ksuvis, which are milestones in the world of the yeshivish world. And he was a Gaon Olam, and he wrote a commentary on Chumash called Panim Yafis. I think it's in the introduction to Panim Yafis, or somewhere in Panim Yafis. He says, what does this mean if your Rebbe is like a Malach, you should go study Torah from him? What does this mean? And he gives the following interpretation, which is very relevant to our times. He says, what's the difference between a malach and a person? There's a pasuk in Scharia, V'nasati lecha mahalchim ben ha'im dim ha'ela. I will provide for you mahalchim, those who move, ben ha'im dim ha'ela, among those who stand. So Chazal explained, mahalchim are neshamas, and oim dim are malachim. Malachim are basically in one place, because even though they grow, their growth is relative. They're in the same orbit. Only neshamas who come down in this world are capable of transformation, and therefore they are true mahalchim. They can really create movement in their life. Transition and transformation is only possible in this world. The angel's growth is always relative. It's not radical. It's not absolute. And therefore the malach is called an oimed. The Panim Yafis says as follows. When you have a Rebbe, those of you who spend time in yeshivas know how true these words are. You have a Rebbe, a Rosh Yeshiva, a teacher, a Rebbe, a Magid Shir, whatever it is. He's giving a Shir. He learned this Masechta already many, many times. He's tempted always to find a Chiddush, to express something new, to go faster, to go ahead. He says, "Im harav doyme l'malach Hashem tzvokas yivak shoterim epiyo." If he realizes that the function of a teacher is not to express himself and his genius, his function is to be a pedagogue, to mold his students, and therefore he's ready to sacrifice his yearning for self-creativity and expression in order to be an oimed. He's not going to be a mahalach, he's going to be a malach. He's going to go much slower because he's there to explain the text, even though that means that a whole day he's basically going to be spending time on explaining to his students the Mishnah, or the Rashi on the Mishnah, or the basic Gemara. He won't have the ability to get into the Maharam Shif and the Maharshal and the Maharam. He won't have the ability to get into Rabbi Akiva Egan, the Pnei Yeshua. He won't be able to discuss the Shagas Aryeh, the Reb Chaim, the Chidushi Hagriz, or the Birch Shmuel. He's going to be an Oymeid. That's the Rav you want to learn from. But certainly Acher did not fit this criteria on any level. How does Reb Meir learn from him? Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said Reb Meir Kra Ashkech B'Darash. Reb Meir found a pasuk, and he brings a pasuk that you can learn Torah from somebody. You disregard their actions and you listen to their words. Ashkech Rabbi Bar Shila Le'Eliyahu. Rabbi the son of Shila meets Eliyahu Anavi. Amar Le'i says, "My kavod kutcha brichu. What is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doing now?" Amar Lehi Elio says, "Kamar Shmaitim Yipumayu the Kula Rabbanim." He's repeating Torah from all of the rabbis. Umipumid Reb Meir Loi Kamar. Besides Reb Meir, he's not repeating Torah from Reb Meir. Amar Lehi Rabbi asks Elio Novi, "Am I? Why not?" So Elio says, "Bishum the Kagamar Shmaitim Yipumid Acher," because you know where he got his Torah from. He got his Torah from Acher. Hashem is not going to repeat Reb Meir's Torah. Amar Lehi. Rabbi tells Eliyahu, "No, no, no. Am I? Why? This doesn't make sense." Reb Meir Rimon Matzo Toichay Achal Kliposi Zarak. Reb Meir found a pomegranate. Toichay Achal. He ate the insides. Kliposi Zarak. The shell, the husk of the pomegranate, he threw away. What's the problem? He ate those parts of the pomegranate that are edible, that are delicious. He threw away the peels. Amalei, Eliyahu Hanavi says, Hashtaka Amar. You know what? God is convinced. He's now quoting the Meir. I just hear as you speak, he's quoting the Meir. Hashtaka Amar, he's just saying, Meir Bni Oimer. Meir, my son says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in heaven is saying, Meir, my son says, Bizman Shadam Mitzayir, when a man is in pain, any person, Shechina Ma'aloshin Aymeris, what does the Shechina say? Kalani Miroishi, Kalani Mizroi. I am burdened from the pain of my head. I'm burdened from the pain of my arm. When a human being is in pain, any human being, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Kivayachal suffers terribly. Im Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitztayir Al Damon Shel Rishoyim Kal V'Chomer Al Damon Shel Tzadikim Shenishpach. If this is the Tzar of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on the blood, even of a Rasha, certainly on the blood of a Tzadik, and this is Reb Meir's Torah, where Rashi brings, what's Reb Meir's Torah? Very famous, it says in Parshas Kiseitze, don't leave a person on the gallows overnight. Kikilalas Elohim Talui. Kivayachol the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is hanging. What does this mean? So Reb Meir gives the metaphor that there was a king who had a twin, and his twin became a gangster and a murderer, and he was hung, and everybody was looking at him, and they said, "Wow, that's the king. Take him down, take him down." Kilalas Elohim, a person, even a despicable person, is B'Tzelem Elohim, it's the image of Hashem. So therefore, it's kevayachal, a mirror and reflection of Hashem. So the Shechina says, kalani meiroishi, kalani mizroi. He's now quoting Reb Meir, even though initially Hashem was not quoting Reb Meir. It's a very interesting Gemara. First, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam bans Reb Meir. I'm not going to repeat his Torah. Rabbi says, it's a pomegranate. He threw away the peel. He goes, okay, you're right. God is already quoting him. He's already quoting him. Now, I don't want to be a nudnik, but I want to ask a question. It's really not my question. The question comes from somebody else. When you eat a pomegranate, what do you do first? First you discard the peel and then you eat the inside? Or first you eat the inside and then you discard the peel? Or let's take a banana. What do you do first? You eat the banana or you peel the peel? I'm asking you.
or an orange? So we all know the answer.
Rabbi should have said, Reb Meir, right? Rimoy matzah, kliposoy zarak, v'toychayocha. He got rid of the husk and then he ate the toych. No, toychayocha, kliposoy zarak. In Chazal, not only words are precise, the order of words is precise. Even though we just said, ein muktam ma'ucha b'toyra, but that means something else, as we will see. I want to learn with you another Gemara. Erev in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Reb Acha Bar Chanina, Reb Acha the son of Chanina said, Goli v'yadu lefnei mishamar b'hayah ha'olam. It was revealed to Hashem she'ein b'doinir she Reb Meir k'moisai. There was nobody like Reb Meir. Ufnei maloi kavu halacha k'moisai. So why is the halacha might like Reb Meir in every situation? Shelo yardu chaver of lamad al soiv daitai. Not because he wasn't so great. His friends did not grasp the soiv daitai, the depth of his wisdom. Shehu oimer al tamei tahir. Reb Meir can say on something that's impure, he could say it's pure, and he could explain it. He can demonstrate it. Then he could say on something that's pure that it's impure, and he can demonstrate it. And the Chachamim did not know how to deal with such genius. It was too hard for them. He could convince you, you know, that Tamei is Tar, and he could prove it to you. He can convince you that Tar is Tamei. Well, yo, that was his level of genius, his level of depth. And therefore, the halacha follows the majority. They couldn't keep up with Reb Meir. The halacha is not like Reb Meir. Tana, we learned, Loi Reb Meir Shmai Ele Reb Nahirai Shmai. His real name was Nahirai. Lama Nikr Shmai Reb Meir? Shehu Meir Einei Chachamim B'Halacha. He illuminated the eyes of the Chachamim in halacha. And then there's another braisa. Loi Nahirai Shmai. His name was not even not Nahirai. Elo Reb Nechemya Shmoy, Amelo Reb Loza Ben Aruch Shmoy. His name was Reb Nechemya, Reb Loza Ben Aruch. V'lomay Nikr Shmoy Nahiroi, Sheman Hir Einei Chachamim B'Halacha. He lights up, he brings light to the eyes of the sages in Halach. Omar Rebbe says, Haide Mechadadina Mechavaroi, the Chazisei L'Reb Meir Me'achayri. The reason I'm sharper than my colleagues is because I saw Reb Meir from his back. When we sat in Yeshiva Beis Medrash, I was sitting facing Reb Meir's back. V'ilu chazise mekamei. If I would have learned and had the opportunity to see his face, have mechadad natvei, I would have been far more bright. Shediksiv, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, v'hoyu einecha royes as meirecha. Your eyes should see your teacher, Reb Meir. Next Gemara is Megillah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, a fascinating story. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asur Lichtiv Ois Achas Shalom Min Aksav. You're writing a Sefer Torah, you can't write by memory. Even one letter, you can't write it not from a pre-written Sefer Torah. Meisvu will ask a question. Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar, Meisvu Reb Meir. Reb Shimon told a story about Reb Meir, Shehalach La'abir Shana Ba'asin. He went to the city of Asya in order to add a month to the year, to create a leap year. V'loi hayo sham Megillah, it was Purim time. And there was no Megillus Esther. V'kasva miliboy. Reb Meir wrote the entire Megillus Esther from his memory. V'kara, and he used it for Purim. Reb Meir read his Megillah on Purim. Was it a kosher Megillah? Amar Rav Avo says, Shaini Reb Meir. Meir is different. The Mekayim Bey, by him, the Pasuk in Mishlei was fulfilled. Which Pasuk? V'afapecha yeshiru negdecha. V'afapecha are your eyelids should look straight ahead of you. What does this mean? Rami said to Reb Yirmiyah, "My va'afapecha yeshiru negdecha." Amala elu divrei Torah diksiv bu. It says by Torah, "Hatoyif einecha ve'einenu." If you move away your eyes for a moment from Torah, it's gone. It's so easy to forget Torah. If you say, I'm taking a vacation from learning for a day, don't expect that the next day you come back and it's all the same. Torah always, it's like a fish in water. You always has to be part of your life. Hatoyif einecha boy. You move your eyes away, ve'inenu, it's gone. Va'afilu hachi miyusharen heinetz Reb Meir. That's everybody else. But Reb Meir, it's always there. Va'afapecha
refers to Torah. Yeshiru Nagdecha, it's always there, therefore he can write Megillus Esther from memory. And it's completely fine. Before we get in, to try to see if there's a pattern, a thread. Do you see a thread in everything we learned till now about Reb Meir? Let's recall one more story. It's a very long story. It's the end of Masechta Hoirius. To really appreciate Reb Meir, you have to go through dozens and dozens of places in Shas. We're just selecting mamish a few sources. The end of Hoirius is a fascinating story. The story needs a shiur in and of itself, an explanation in and of itself. Reb Meir and his colleague Reb Nosson were not satisfied with the Nasi, with the leader of the Sanhedrin, whose name was Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, from the dynasty, of course, of Reb Gamliel, the dynasty of Beis David. And they felt that he should be demoted somewhat, or dethroned somewhat. How would they do it? They felt Reb Gamliel doesn't know Masechta Uktzin. They said they'll test him on Masechta Uktzin. Masechta Uktzin is the last Masechta in Shas. It has three chapters. And Reb Meir was an expert on Uktzin. He's an expert on everything, including Uktzin. And somebody heard about their plot, and that man started to learn Uktzin that night, a whole night loud, and Reb Gamliel realized something is suspicious. So he also learned Uktzin. And the next day when they tested him on Uktzin, he knew it all. And he passed with flying colors, and the plot was discovered, and it was foiled. And Reb Meir and Reb Nosson were cast out of the Beis Medrash, and the Chachamim protested. They said, we're all going out. If they're not here, we're not learning. So they brought them back in, but they were penalized. And the penalty was fascinating. Reb Nosson, from that point on, was quoted as Yesh Oimrim. When you see in Mishnayos Yesh Oimrim, it's Reb Nosson. And Reb Meir, what was his knas? His title is Acherim. Whenever you see in Shas, Acherim Oimrim, others say, who's others? Reb Meir. That was his knas. Acherim. So Reb Meir is the master of Uktzin. He wants to test Reb Gamliel on Uktzin. And as a result, he assumes a new name in Shas. Acherim. The others, the strangers. Huh? Now that's quite strange because his Rebbe got the name Acher, and now he's called Acherim in the plural. And of course, many of his Torahs he's repeating from the pomegranate that he discovered, the inside of the pomegranate. So, there's a lot going on here. And we're going to learn a Torah from the Halakha Magid of Mizrich. The Baal Shem Tov founded Chassidus, passed away Shavuos Tov Kuf Chof, Shavuos 1760, was succeeded 1 year later by his pupil and student, Reb Doiv Ber, the Rebbe Reb Ber, who lived in the Mizrich in Ukraine, the city of Mizrich. He's buried in another city called Anapoli. He passed away 13 years later after the Baal Shem Tov, on Yutas Kislev, Tovkuf Lamed Gimel, 1732. The Baal Shem Tov and the Magid did not write their own Svarim. The Magid was considered a Gon Oilam, also a Nigla in Halacha. And he came to the Baal Shem Tov. There's a whole story how he became his Talmud, but the students wrote down their Torah. And one of the Svarim that records the Torah of the Mizritcha Magid, as he's known, was the Rebbe Reber, as many Chassidim call him, is called Oy Torah, the Light of Torah. In there he has a shtickle about Reb Meir. And I want to learn with you, it's a very long shtickel. I cut out a lot of it because it's extremely long. But I took one piece that I want to learn with you, which is still quite long. And it's the last source on side one of your source sheets. Oy Torah L'Rav HaMagid. Says the Magid, Al Pizeh Muvon, Masha Kosov B'Torosah Shereb Meir Hayah Kosov Kosnas Arba Aleph. We'll understand why by Reb Meir it said Ur with an Aleph. The Yesh L'Daktik, there are two questions here. Lama Amru B'Torosah Shereb Reb Meir, Havaleh L'Meimar B'Torosah Shekosav Reb Meir Kosnas Arba Aleph. Why does the Medrash say in the Torah of Reb Meir? It's not his Torah. In the Torah that Reb Meir wrote, we're assuming that Reb Meir was a Sofer and he wrote a Torah. The Torah that he wrote, not in his Torah, his Torah. V'oid, Imhu kipshuta, if it means literally, hechech lif Reb Meir ayin ba'alef, how do you do this? Was it a mistake? If he had a question, he should have checked up in the previous Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah of the Hazara, the Sefer Torah of Ezra, from which they used to check the Sefer Torah. How do you make such a mistake? Ayin Aleph. Ubeloiza kosha Reb Meir. I have another question. Shekola Torah roi lichtiv al yodin shaf apav yeshiru negdoi. The Gemara in Megillah daf Yedches, he can write the whole Torah by heart. He sees it. Af apav yeshiru negdoi. His eyes are on it constantly, even when he's not looking. Ve'ech kosav alav v'makamayin. From all people, he should make such an error. Umagam, another question. Pshat hatev v'nishtana. It's not just a little mistake, a letter. The meaning of the word changes. Oyer is fur, oyer with an aleph is light. The answer is based on the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel. His name was not Reb Meir, but Nahiroi. He illuminated the eyes of the Chacham in Aloch. As the Gemara continues there. The meaning of this is, the source of his neshama was from what we call Seichel HaKadum, the primordial Seichel, that the Chachma is the seminal sparks of wisdom received from it. They received from Reb Meir Seichel HaKadum. He was Meir Einei Chachamim. They're called Chachamim because they come from Chachma. And he can add light even to Chachma. Because his source is from a place of Seichel, of awareness that's even deeper than Chachma. Chachma is usually considered in Kabbalah the first attribute of wisdom. You have Chachma from the Esser Spheres of Sefer Yetzirah, you have Chachma, and you have Bina, and then you have Das, and you have Ches, and you have Bura. Chachma is the source. The Pasuk says in Bishleva, Chachma me ayin timotze. And Reb Meir is Meir Einei Chachamim. He gives light even to Chachma. That's his first point. The Torah that Reb Meir learns is pure, without any sediments, without any haven that may be mixed into it. All the questions and confusions, kiyadua b'sefer haZoyar, sheimisitra diksoynis or sheim aklipus. The Zoyar says in Parshas Nosoi that all of the questions in Chazal and Gemara that make you not understand what Torah says, all of the struggles that Talmud Bavli and Rishonim and Acharonim go through, is essentially a helam on Torah. You're reading a pasuk, you're reading a mishnah, and you don't understand, and you have contradictions. All of this is basically a concealment that you have to work through. What is it? It's kasnas oy. It's tunics of fur, it's garments that are covering up, that don't allow you, they're not transparent, they don't allow you to see through. These are the shells. These are what's called klippos, and the chazal and the rabbis are working them through in order to get the light, to get to the truth. So he says, this was not by him. Rak Torosoy, he says, Zaka. His Torah was pure. Mishoydish nishmasay, because of where his neshama came from. It came beyond Chachma. He saw everything clearly. It came beyond Chachma, which has to go through the process of questions and answers and refutations and proofs and Iboyas and Raminus and Mesve and Tiyufte and Kashya and Iboyaluhu, etc. That's the meaning the Gemara says. He sees the Torah. Doesn't only mean he has a good memory, he sees it. Right? They once, I think I shared with you once, they once, somebody in the presence of the Ur Sameach, Reb Meir Simcha HaKoyen, the Rav of Dvinsk, said that the Rakachover Gon, Reb Yosef Rosen, has the most exceptional memory. He remembers everything. You can see from his writing. Reb Meir Simcha says, that's not true. That's not true. He doesn't have a good memory. How do you say such a thing? He says, a memory is pshat, somebody who remembers what he learned yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, he remembers. He says, by the Rekat Shover, he sees it. He sees it constantly. It's all open. It's not a memory. Reb Meir, afapecha yeshiru negdo. He sees it. It doesn't only mean a good memory. He sees the Torah in the sense, everything is seeing. There's no concealment. He sees everything in its core, in its source. V'av shenemar boi marim em tes ponim tohoi. Aye, it says, he is the one who can explain that what's tohoi is tamei, and what's tamei is tohoi. Hakavona hoya v'chol zeh laharis l'chachamim sheyesh lintos l'kanu l'kan mitzad hasvara. He's showing the chachamim that if you only use regular chachma, regular logic, you can go here, you can go there. V'hamevin yavin v'yaskil v'yivrir atoyv emez v'ayosh. And it takes work to be able to extract the truth, the goodness, because tamei could be tar could be tamei. Avila emes shahisa tayrasi belishum yag ve'eru ve'belishum safek. His Torah did not have sediments, wasn't mixed with darkness, with cover-ups, with doubts, with questions. He didn't have to work through the kosnas oyer in order to get to the emes, which is so much of Torah shabal peh. That's why, the way it says, what does it say about it? It says, doesn't say, Mara lechachamim. He showed the chachamim. The last one. Kiyim shoya mara lohem sheyesh das noita lebeis haponim. It's not that he was telling them, chas v'shalom, what's tamei is tahor. Not that he was telling them it's tahor. No, he was explaining to them how it works, and that's why you need the meir. You need the source of Torah, because in the world of logic, Torah itself can be distorted. If somebody has a fertile mind, they can distort truth. You need the pnimius of Torah. You need the source. You need the meir enei chachamim in order to keep to the truth. Not that chas v'shalom he perverted the Torah. He explained to them how it works. You can get stuck in the kosnas oyer with an eye. That's why the Gemara says they couldn't reach soiv daita. What's soiv daita? So we touch soiv daita means the end of his das. Says the Magid, page 2, turn around. They couldn't even get soiv daita. The end, the lowest part of his das. Certainly they couldn't grasp the beginning of his das, the source, the origin, the depth of his das. That's what the Medrash means in the Torah of Reb Meir. Not in the Torah that Reb Meir wrote. The Torah that Reb Meir wrote, it said, kosnas oyer with an ayin. You can't change the Torah. In the Torah of Reb Meir, it doesn't mean the Sefer Torah. In the Torah of Reb Meir, the Gemara says, "Mitchila nikras Torah Hashem achakal sham ala adam nikra Torah." The Gemara asks a famous contradiction. One pasuk says, "B'Torah Hashem cheftzai." One pasuk says, "B'Torah soi." Torah. So it says, in the beginning, it's Hashem's Torah. Later, it becomes yours. It becomes Torah soi nikras al shmoi. Pirush b'Torah soi, but limudoy shalomad Reb Meir in the Torah that became Reb Meir's. Hayakasav, it was written. What do we mean written? Kaloimar. Nechkuku boy advorim kinesi nosoi misinai. Chokuk v'chorus aluach liboy. In the Torah of Reb Meir, in the Torah that became Reb Meir's, it was engraved in his heart. The Torah, the way it was learnt, internalized, applied by Reb Meir. Kosnes oi. Ritzoin eloimar teirosoi shi hakdoisha belis yog ve'eruv. By him, the oi became the oyer because he didn't see the oyer, the fur, as something eclipsing the light. It was transparent. This may be the meaning Reb Meir found the pomegranate and ate the inside and discarded the peel. Here he asks the question. First you discard the peel, and then you eat the food. You don't first eat the food and then discard the peel. The pshat is, ki be'emes, Reb Meir loy zora kaklipa b'shas achila. Reb Meir did not throw out the peel when he was eating. It doesn't say klipas loy zora in toichayacha. Right away, toichayacha. He didn't have to throw out the peel. You know why? Because he saw the food in the peel. For him, it wasn't a klipa that eclipsed. It wasn't oyer. It was oyer. He didn't have to throw out the peel. That's what the Chazal are saying. Reb Meir toichai ochal. It says kliposei zarak. So he continues. Dahainu b'shoa shalom ha-toyda mipiyacher. When he was learning Torah from Machir, he didn't throw out the peel. He held on to the peel. How can he hold on to the peel? It's a peel, it's a klipa. Va'av shoho yiso toirosi shal achim urav bira. The Torah of Achim must have been mixed with Ra, with negativity, because of Achir, his mind, his heart. Afal became lomad mimenu. He could learn from him. V'lohayolei pachad machmas ha-sigim. He wasn't afraid because of the sigim. What are the sigim? The impurities, the sediments, the filth, the dirt. Because Reb Meir's Torah was so purified, he could look at the klipa, and in the klipa he saw Ur with an aleph. Ukvar zorak ha-klipa k'shalomad mitchilas toirosoi b'kosmos Ur k'nizka. He's teaching us that. When he's learning for Reb Meir, toichayacha, he doesn't discard the klipa. He eats the inside even while there is the klipa, because in the klipa, in the shell, he sees the light. How can he do this? Because klipa say zorak, he already got rid of the klipa a long time ago. His whole Torah was a different type of Torah. It was already a kosmos Ur a long time ago. Klipa say zorak, not now. In the beginning of his Torah, he already discarded the klipa. So now when he looked at life, when he listened to somebody, even in klipa, which somebody else would be distracted, would be confused, might be taught in the wrong, might get a wrong message, he knew how to pierce through and see the truth, the godliness, the holiness in that shell. L'chein ha'yachal levar gam k'mitirasa shalachin ha'toyv min hara. So he can extract the toyv, v'zeo toych ha'yach. Gam ef shaloyma, you could say, ki ma'asham ha'razah Reb Meir dayak b'shma. This is the reason why Reb Meir was medayak in names. What's the connection? It's all the same thing. Ef shaloyma, listen to this. Gevaldik ha'toyv. K'moy shenemar ba'adam ha'rishin. It says by Adam in Parshas Bereishis, v'choyla sheyikre loy ha'adam hu shmoy. The name that Adam gave to any animal, any creature, that becomes his name. And the Gemara says there, Chazal say, Acher Shevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Behemes V'Chayis. Hashem brought all of the animals before Adam. Amar, Adam said, Lozeno Likroi Se Shor, Lozeno Likroi Se Chamor. This one, it's nice to give him the name ox, donkey, every animal he named. Asks the Maggid, what's this Lozen Nol Ekreise? What does Adam HaRishon mean? What makes it so beautiful to name this animal a kelev, a dog, and this animal a chosel, a cat, and this one an ox, and this one a peel, an elephant, and this one a lion, an ari? What's the Nol Ekreise? Not only that, Chazal said that the Malachim asked Hashem, why are you creating Adam? What's wrong with us? And he said, I'll show you that his wisdom is greater than yours, because he could name everybody and you can't. What's the big deal? You just give people names. So the Mezritch and Maggid says there's two types of names. There are names that are circumstantial, incidental, and there are names that are essential descriptions. I call this a table, and I call this a cup. Okay, but if theoretically we would all convene and decide, if Mr. Webster would say, you know what, from today, this will be called a table, and this will be called a chair, and this will be called not a tissue, will be called a clock, and this will be called a tissue, okay. I mean, it's not a practical thing to do. It's not a very helpful thing to do. But it's not a terrible confusion of chemistry or reality. But the names of Torah are descriptive names. They tell you the underlying chemistry of the object, physically, and even more importantly, spiritually. For this, you have to not only be a scientist, you also have to be a spiritual scientist. That's what he's going to say. Ki mikoyach godel hachoydel hachachmi yaseir shahaya boy. Haya yodeya shoyrish kol nivra, me ayin nivra, me eza shoyrishu, vahaya koyre shmoy b'sharshoy, masha lo yoyo yichoylen amalachim lahasig b'likris, shemas keiluk mashakasim shambam medrash. Adam HaRishon looked at a creature, and he didn't see the outer layer. He could see the source, the core, the essence. He saw the outer as an expression of the inner. He could see something all the way to the deepest place, and then he gives the name. That's the significance of names. That's why the Arizal says that when parents give a name at a bris, or at a Sefer Torah for a girl, so the Arizal says something fascinating. He says, Ke'ei Nevua, it's like a prophecy that gets planted in the brain of the mother and the father. What's so important? You give a name. Azeda, Ababa, another name you want. What's the issue? Because the name is not just a name. You need a name, I need a name. The name is connected to the neshama of the person. That's why Chas v'Shalom, when somebody is ill, very ill, they sometimes add a name, because a name is a channel for energy. It's associated with the soul of the person. B'meila, he continues, V'cheina inyin gabi reb meir, ki megoydel chachmasai, haya yoydeya shoydish nishmas shol kol echad ve'echad me'echad sharshayim toy v'chuli, v'zehu medayeg b'shma. Reb Meir, the master of Kosmos, is Medayim Rishma, because he doesn't see Klipa. He sees what everybody else sees, but he sees through. So therefore, he doesn't have to discard the shell, because the shell for him is not a shell. The shell doesn't block. What does this mean? Another few lines from the Tzemach Tzedek in Derech Mitzvah Secha Mitzvah Smilam. V'zehu soid Kosmos Oyr Ba'alaf. Shoya Kosmos B'Toyrosu Shereb Meir. Listen to this word. Who's Reb Meir? We say every morning in Shacharis, HaMeir La'aretz V'La'adorim Aleha B'rachamim. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives light to the whole cosmos and to all who live there. Derech HaParsa. But the way Hashem gives light to the world, it's always through a veil, through a curtain. Shemisham Hoya Shoyrish Nishmas Reb Meir. Nishama Reb Meir came from the place of Meir La'aretz V'La'adorim Aleha. Amnam kosnes oir ba'ayin hu levush gas hamaskil legamri. Kosnes oir is that the Ribbono Shel Olam created a dense garment that conceals the Me'il Aretz. So even though the chiyus, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam's life energy fills and saturates every person, every creature, every moment, because our entire identity and existence is essentially divine energy, but there's a kosnes oir. There's a tunic, a fur, that blocks it, and therefore we don't experience the oneness with Hashem. That's why there's Hamavdil. There's Mavdil bein Tamei and Tar. We have in Shmini and in Kedoshim. Because they don't feel, because there's a Havdalah, they don't feel the connection, they can turn themselves into a Yesh Gomer, meaning a complete independent reality that believes that it's completely disconnected from Hashem, it's disconnected from holiness. And therefore, v'zehu klal gadol hu she'ikir ha'hevdol bein sitru d'kedusha l'sitrachara shebekedusha b'chinas habitol. The key difference between kedusha and not kedusha is, in kedusha, you never feel that God is not with you and in you at this very moment. Kedusha is always empowering because you feel your oneness. And tumah has this havdalah, the kosnes oir. And this happens as a result of the Eitz Hadas, Reb Meir. Reb Meir comes from the Meir, and therefore he looks at the curtain, but he sees through the curtain, he sees through the Oir. In his Torah, there's no Oir with an Ayin, there's Oir with an Aleph. This is the Torah of the Mezritch Magid and the Tzemach Tzedek. If this is the case, let's now go through some of the features of Reb Meir. Reb Meir is the master storyteller, not just stories. Mishalim, what's a mashal? What is a mashal? I'm trying to explain a concept. It's very deep, it's very abstract, it's very profound. I give my students a mashal. I tell them a story. I give them an illustration. The Gemara does this very often. If the Gemara wants to explain the Svara of Ksuvis, many of you are learning Masechta Ksuvis, you have Kavua. Loi batel kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami kol de parish mirube parish. The Gemara gives a mashal. Esachanuyas. There's 10 stores. 9 of them sell treif. 1 sells kosher, or vice versa. Every mashal gives a physical illustration so people can relate to the story, and then from there you get to the concept. You deduce from the mashal what's called the nimshal. Shloima HaMelech, it says, Vayidaber, Shloishas Alafim Mashal. He did 3,000 Mashalim. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean Shloima HaMelech wrote a storybook, children's book of 3,000 stories, everyone could put their kids to bed. The Maggid explains elsewhere that Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom was so profound that his idea needed a mashal, a metaphor. But the mashal needed another mashal. And then that mashal needed another mashal. And that mashal yet needed another mashal. And finally he got to mashal 2999, which explained mashal 2998, which explained mashal 2997, and the Olam still didn't understand. So he said, one more! And when he said the 3,000th mashal, gewaldig. And now you have to go back 2999, 2998, 2997, 2996, and I will not sit here going through all the numbers with you, you'll figure it out on your own. And then when they got to mashal number one, now who of us gives such types of mashalim? Reb Meir was the last mashal giver, because Reb Meir was the master. What's a mashal? A mashal is when you're hearing the mashal, it's deceptive. You don't know the nimshal yet. You ever read the Chafetz Chaim's mashalim, the Dubna Maggid's mashalim? They're painting beautiful stories, interesting, entertaining, charismatic. Every good darshan, you need stories, you need jokes. But the real darshan doesn't stay with the story. Now you've got the story. Now let me show you the inner soul behind it. Reb Meir was the one who ultimately could see in every mashal the nimshal. A mashal is a klipa. A mashal is a shell. But for Reb Meir, the shell was always transparent of the depth. And therefore Reb Meir knew how to bring down the highest depths and look at the whole world and see the whole world as a mashal. Everything was a mashal for him. It was a metaphor for Hashem. It was a metaphor for holiness. And even though it came out in another way, that's what a mashal is. A mashal is a truth that comes out in a very different way. And yet, if you understand the mashal, if you understand the nimshal, you could see the nimshal. You could see the nimshal in the mashal. What's uktzin? What's masechta uktzin? Uktzin, for those who learned Masechta Uktzin, the word uktz means what? The stem of the fruit. The Masechta Uktzin deals with the relationship between the stem and the fruit, the shell and the fruit, the basyat, the handle and the fruit, and how tumah applies to the substance and to the levush, to the garment. Reb Meir was the master of Masechta Uktzin, and he felt that a nasi, a leader like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who doesn't understand the Masechta Uktzin, who doesn't have the ability to look at the stems, everyone disregards the stems. The stems go in the garbage. No! If you can see in the stems of Klal Yisrael, in the stems of your family, in the stems of your students, if you can't see the depth of the fruit, Reb Meir felt, you can't be the nasi. You can't be the ultimate leader. Take a look to his relationship with Acher, at his relationship with Acher. What is it about Acher? Everyone leaves Acher. Of course you leave Acher. How could you not leave Acher? What was Reb Meir's chiddush? Not everybody can do this. The Gemara says over there, kam begadol, kam bekatan, to learn from Elisha ben Avuya, you have to be mature, because a small person can very easily get confused. Reb Meir looks at Elisha ben Avuya, and he sees, even in the klipa, he sees the kedusha. What does this mean? Reb Meir understands the whole process. Reb Meir doesn't just see the blackness, the negativity. Reb Meir has the ability to see much deeper, and this we'll see in the following teaching of the Mishnah, the way the Arizal explains it. If you take a look, Masechta Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chaf, Elisha ben Avuya, it's one of the few times Elisha ben Avuya is quoted by his name. Somebody who teaches Torah to a child, it's like ink written on fresh parchment. If you're teaching to an elderly person, it's like writing ink on erased parchment. In other words, it's not so clear, it's not absorbed, it doesn't have the freshness, because he's not a child anymore, and the brain of a child is unique in what it absorbs like a wet sponge. And the Mishnah continues, Reb Meir Oimer, the same Mishnah. Reb Meir says, some are goydis Rebbe, some are goydis Reb Meir. Al tistakel v'kankan ela b'mesha yeshbo. Never look at the barrel, only look at what's inside the barrel. Yesh kankan chadosh mole yashon. You have a barrel that's new, but it's filled with old, ancient wine. Ah! V'yashon, then you have an old barrel of wine and you see, ah, here you're going to get wine that's 300 years old. You pay $3,000 for this bottle. Afilu chadash ein bo. It doesn't even have new wine. It's tam vinegar. There's nothing there. Don't, in other words, as we say in English, don't judge a book by the cover. Don't judge the quality of the wine based on the barrel, the kamkan. At first glance, it's directly connected to the beginning of the Mishnah with Elisha ben Avuya, because Reb Meir, as the Gemara says, Toichayachal Klipasei Zora. Everyone was looking at Elisha ben Avuya based on the presentation, based on the barrel. He certainly didn't look the part, he didn't act the part. Reb Meir says you have to be able to go deeper, and you have to be able to extract what's in the pomegranate. Al tisakel bakamkam elabameh sheyeshboi. But there's a deeper interpretation from the Arizal in Likutei Hashas, the Arizal Masechta Avos. Al tisakel bakamkam. Hine Yakosuv Oymer, the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, we say it every day in the Yud Gimel Midas Harachim, the 13 attributes of compassion, Hashem Hashem Kerachim V'char Nerechapayim, etc. Noisi Oven V'fesha V'chata V'nake Loy Yinake. Literally, what does that mean? V'nake, cleanse, Loy Yinake. He will not cleanse. Zok Dariza V'yesh Behem Remez Sheim Yudke Vofke. Vinake lo yenake has in it Hashem's name. Bimilas vinake yesh vofke. Bimilas yenake yesh yutke. Vinake is vov nun kuf he. Vinake lo yenake is yud nun kuf he. Vihine mipashton shalvarim. When you read the pasuk literally, mashmat seems shafilu l'shavim einay moicha. God doesn't forgive anybody. Vinake lo yenake. Literally, He will not cleanse. He will not cleanse people's sins. It doesn't work that way. Laze Amar comes with Mein and says, Al tisakel bakankan. Ela bameshe yeshvay. Vinake lo yinake. Says Reb Meir, don't read kankan. Vinake has nun kuf. Yinake has nun kuf. It makes together kuf, nun, kuf, nun. Al tisakel bakankan. Don't read those words just based on the kankan. Ela bameshe yeshvay. Look what's inside of it. Vinake has vav and hay. Yinake has yud and hay. And that's why he says, Ela bameh sheyeshboi. What's bama? Dahainu shem yudke vavke. Haramuz birashetavis v'sefetavis ha'oila mem hay. Shuhum akabel shavu. When you write out yud, hay, vav, and then hay, fully, meaning yud, vav, dalet, yud, hay, aleph, vav, aleph, vav, vav, hay, hay, aleph, it comes out to 45, mem hei. Yud vav dalet, hei aleph, vav aleph, vav hei aleph, is mem hei 45. In Kabbalah it's known as shem ma. There's also shem ban, shem sag, shem av, because there are different ways of writing out yud and hei and vav and hei. Because you could spell hei, hei aleph, hei hei, hei hei, hei yud. You could spell vav, vav vav, vav aleph, vav, vav yud vav. Based on this, there's four ways of spelling out Hashem's name fully, and that's why you have always in Kabbalah and Chassidus, four names of Hashem, Shema, Ban, Sag, Av, 45, 52, 63, 72. The basic one is Ma, which is also the gematria of Adam. Aleph, Dalet, Mem, 45, unlike Ban, which is the gematria, Behema, 52. Says the Halakha Arizal, Reb Meir says, Al tistakel bakamka, Ela bema. Look at the ma. Look at the yutke vavke sheyesh boy vinake vav hey lo yinake shehu amekabel shavu. Meaning, you could look on the outside and you say he doesn't forgive. How can he forgive this person? But I'm telling you, inside the vinake lo yinake, there's the shema, there's the yutke vavke, which always accepts shavim, always accepts those who repent. And that's how you have to understand. That's why Chazal say, Menake l'shavim, eine menake l'eine shavim, as Rashi also brings by Menake lo yenake. How does this come in with Reb Meir? Says the Yerushalmi Chagiga Perek Beis, unbelievable Yerushalmi. Amrul Reb Meir, they told Reb Meir, listen to this question. In Amrul Lach Bahu Alma, if you come to the next world and they ask you, they say, Reb Meir, Leman ad bo'inen lemevakra, le'avuch or le'rabach. Where do you want to go visit? Interesting, Yerushalmi. Where do you want to go visit? You want to go visit your father? You want to go visit your Rebbe? Amalai Reb Meir says to his students, I'm not mikrav l'Rebbe kadamai, u'basa kein la'aba. First I'll go to my Rebbe. I'm dying to be with my Rebbe. Then I'll go see my daddy. Amrin Lei, they tell him, v'shamin lach? You think they're going to obey you? You think they'll listen to you? Amalai, of course they'll listen to me. V'loi kein tanina? Is it not a mission in Masechta Shabbos? I think Perek Tazayim. Matzilin tika sefer ima sefer tika tfilin ima tfilin. Shabbos, there's a fire. You could save the sefer Torah and bring it out, even if it's an issur derabbanan, and bring it out to the mavui or to the chatzer. Bring it out, and even if there's money in the bag of tfilin, you could bring it out even mitzat muktzah because of the fire. But you're not only allowed to save the sefer Torah and the tfilin, the tika sefer. The mantle, the coat, the tikkat tefillin, the tefillin bag you also save. Says Reb Meir, he right away sees in this mission, of course, a marshal. Everything is a marshal. Matzilin le'elisha acher b'schus teirasa. Elisha is the tikkat sefer Torah. Elisha is the mantle of the sefer Torah. You save the mantle with the sefer Torah. Because it's the tick of the sefer Torah. And when you look at it, when we kiss a sefer Torah, most people don't even kiss the Torah. What are you kissing? You're kissing the mantle. But it's called kushing the sefer Torah. Why? Because it's what carries the sefer Torah. Elisha ben Avuya was a tick. He carried the sefer Torah. He didn't become a sefer Torah. So Reb Meir says, when I go to Gan Eden, they're going to take me to my father. They're going to take me to my Rebbe. It's not a problem. And that's where the Gemara says in Bavli and Chagiga, that Reb Meir made sure that they didn't want to let they didn't even want to let Achir into Gehenna. And Reb Meir said, "Let him be judged in Olam Haba, let him go to Gan Eden." And ultimately, the Gemara said that even Elisha ben Avuya had his time when he entered into Gan Eden. What is Reb Meir telling us here? There's uktzin, there's the tick, there's the klipa, there's the shell, and it's very easy to be able to look at the shell and not see the inside. And even if you see the inside, but you throw away the shell. Reb Meir's chiddush is that in every situation, he has the ability not to see the shell as a shell that blocks, but to see the shell as a shell that communicates. Not to see kosnas or with an ayin, but to see kosnas or with an aleph, and therefore he doesn't even have to throw away the shell, because he understands the process of how from the presence of Ein Oid Mulvadoi did we get down to this line. So even in the distortion, he can see how the distortion comes from the ultimate source, and therefore he can ultimately distinguish between Tamei and Tar. But if you don't have the ultimate source, you could get confused between Tamei and Tar. This is what he told his chaverim. Al tistakel bakan kan ela b'meshe yesh boy. So what's his job? His job is a soifer. What does a soifer do, Rabbi say? A soifer takes kosnas oir, and he turns it into kosnas oir. What does a soifer do? He takes oir, he takes parchment from the height of an hour. What does he turn it into? He turns it into a chefza of a sefer Torah, of tefillin, of mezuzahs. From oir, he makes oir. When Reb Meir is penalized for his treatment of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, what's the new name they're going to give him? Acherim. Acher. The alien, the other one, the name of his Rebbe. Acher is Aleph Reish Yud Mem, which is Meir. Meir, but with a ches. With a ches. Says the Bnei Yisoscha, we say on Chanukah, Minoisar Kankanim, Nasaneis Lashir Shanim. From the remainders of Kankanim, from the Yud Kei Vofke, Nasa Neis, which is number 8, which is beyond nature. Chanukah is 8 days. Reb Meir is beyond Chachma, so therefore he can transform the Kankan. He can see the Pnimius in the world. There's no Klifa by him. Acherim, from Acher, from Meir, he's connected to Ches, and he can see even in the Acher. Yosef Hashem Li Bein Acher, he could see in the Acher, he could see a Ben. Take a look at Rashi, Vayishlach, Vayira, Yaakov was frightened when Esav was approaching. It says, Vayira, Vayetzer loy, Zakashi, Vayira, Shema, Yehoreg. He may be killed. Vayetzer loy, Im Yareg, Hu Asacherim. He was afraid of two things. He might die, and he might be forced to kill other people. The Rashi's a little strange. Shema, Yehoreg, Vayetzer loy, Im Yareg, Acherim. Im Yareg, Hu Asacherim. And there's a remez. The Gemara says in Masechta Gittin, Daf Nun Vav, that one of the Roman emperors was a man named Nero. And ultimately what happens? He escapes Rome and he converts. And who's his descendant? Reb Meir. Reb Meir comes from Nero, the emperor of Rome, who comes from Esau. So Rashi says, Im Yarig hu es Acherim. Yaakov is afraid to kill Acherim, to kill Esau, who has the spark of Reb Meir, because Reb Meir comes from Nero, and therefore Reb Meir is the one who could transform the ultimate oil, the ultimate klipa of Esau, of Nero, who was a ruthless anti-Semite. And Reb Meir becomes Meir Einei Chachamim Bahalacha, because in his world, this oil. What does Esav ask his father in order to deceive him? Ketzad ma'asrin es hamelach ves hateven. How do you give ma'aser from salt and from straw? You don't give ma'aser from straw. Straw is not edible. It's animal fodder. It's klipa. It's the shell. You throw it away. But Esav, in his source, wants to know, ketzad ma'asrin hamelach v'hateven. How do you give ma'aser? How do you sanctify even the straw of life, the uktzin of life, the mashalim of life, the kustnus are with an ayin of life? This is what Reb Meir is going to encounter. And his wife is Bruria, which is from the word barur, birur, clarity, mevurur. As the Maggid explains, in his Torah there's birur, there's no syogim, there's no sediments. Is it then a wonder that Reb Meir is so deeply associated with Pesach Sheni? Whether if his Yortzeit is Pesach Sheni, or people connect Yudalad Sheni, Yudalad Iyar to Reb Meir. What is Pesach Sheni? Literally the story is, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells the Jews to offer the Karban Pesach in the month of Nisan on the 14th. There's a group of people who are Tameh, and they don't have part in the Karban Pesach. They come screaming to Moshe, Lama Nigara! Why should we be deprived? There's no second chances in life. Moshe says, as far as I know, you missed Shachris one day, Lama Nigara. You missed. Oynes Rachmana Patre. Wasn't your fault. You missed Lulav on Sukkos. You're going to shake Lulav on Chanukah, Lama Nigara. You missed Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You're going to start blowing Shofar on Purim. I mean, you could blow Shofar on Purim. There's a time. Here there's an exception. Hashem says, Ish kiyeh tamil nefesh ebederech rechayka. Somebody who was impure or he was in a distant road and he missed the opportunity to make the Karban Pesach, we give him 1 month later a second chance to bring the Pesach Sheni. It's the only mitzvah in HaTorah that was not stated directly from Hashem. It came from the people. You have the story of Bnei Slavchot who wanted a part in Eretz Yisrael, so they were complaining about their father's lot. But here you have a situation where the only mitzvah, Hashem doesn't say it, people come and complain, and they are the ones who initiate the mitzvah. It's not coming directly, what's called, from milmaila, it comes milmata, from the people. What does this represent symbolically? What does this represent? So basically, there are three views how you can understand people's lives, and people's mistakes, and people's previous actions. And here we'll be able to understand in a very practical way what Reb Meir is teaching us in regard to Acher. One view is, I'm a victim of my past. You see me, you don't like me, blame my mother, blame my father, blame my brother, blame my teacher, blame my community, blame my wife, blame my mother-in-law, blame Adam and Chava. I am a product of my past. This is a very ingrained notion today in many people's lives, that people don't have real choices. We are ultimately molded, designed, crafted by choices that have been made previously or choices that have been made by our genes. It's predeterminism. You know the mice. There was a guy, they say a guy who came into a bar one night and he drank up the cup of whiskey and he takes the cup and he throws it at the bartender. He says, what are you doing? He says, I'm so sorry. I have uncontrollable anger in me. I apologize. I'm very ashamed of myself. He says, I forgive you. So he comes the next night and he drinks up a glass of whiskey, and sure enough, he takes the glass and throws it on the guy. Poor guy is bleeding. He says, what now? He says, I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. But I had an abusive father, and I had a mashugana uncle, and I had an addicted grandmother and mother, and I had a horrible dysfunctional life, and I suffer from terrible, terrible grief and misery and agony and insecurity, and I'm very embarrassed Okay, the next night, same thing. What now? He says, I'm so ashamed of myself, I just can't control it. He says, listen, if you don't want me to call the police, you promised me that you go to therapy. You go to therapy. He says, okay, I will. He leaves. He doesn't show up for 9 months. He comes back 9 months later, orders a glass of whiskey, takes the glass, throws it in his face. He says, what now? He says, I went to therapy for 9 months and now I'm not embarrassed anymore. So there is the notion, I am who my parents made me to be, who my environment made me to be, who my genes made me to be, who my community made me to be. And that's it. I'm just playing out somebody else's script. Then it would make sense that it says, Ubnei Don Chushim. The children of Don are Chushim. But Don only had one child. But if you believe, if your philosophy is that ultimately we're just playing out the script that has been embedded in the genetic code of our father and mother and grandfather and grandmother all the way back. So Don may have one son, Chushim, but all of Chushim's children are essentially a reflection of the father, of the patriarch of the family, Don. You may have one child, but that child will have all the children, and they're just different manifestations of one code that has already been predetermined. But there's another perspective. And the other perspective is, you maybe cannot change your past, but you are the master of your future. You may not be able to retell the story of what happened to you, but you could certainly recreate the story that will be written about you. You are the author of your own future autobiography. That's the concept of real bechira, of real choice, that notwithstanding emotions, difficulties, challenges, ultimately a person is never a victim of the past. So b'toyrasi shel Reb Meir, in the Torah of Reb Meir, it doesn't say Ubnei Don Chushim, it says Uben Don Chushim. Don has one son, Chushim, but ultimately, the ability for a person to be able to recreate himself, even if this darkness is there, but it goes one step deeper, and this is what Reb Meir teaches us. It's not just, there's a philosophy, you're a victim of the past. There's a philosophy, the past is the past, it's powerful, but it doesn't define your life. Then there is a deeper concept. And the deeper concept is that as you redefine your future, you're capable of returning to your past and redefining your past. And this has been articulated most clearly in one man's words, Reish Lakish. The last source, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, Amar Reish Lakish, G'doy L'tshuva Shes Doynes Nasa Loike Zachis. The greatness of tshuva is that your sins are transformed into mitzvahs. What does this mean? 10 years ago, I may have committed a zodon, a sin willingly. Today I do tshuva, as Reish Lakish says, out of love, and the avera now becomes a mitzvah. It's not just I become a bal tshuva, now I will not do this any longer. I take responsibility and I change my future. No! As a result of my change, I go back into time, what do they say, back to the future, and I redefine the sin as a mitzvah. How do we understand this? They say about the Badit Shiva, the Helik Badit Shiva, he once saw a Yid smoking on Yom Kippur. And he was always had something good to say. So the man says, Nu, what do you have to say? He says, ah, how I am jealous of you. He says, why? He says, because if you do tshuva out of love, zdoinus nasolai kezachias, all your sins will become mitzvahs. So he says, Rebbe, come back next year, you'll be even more jealous of me. But they say that at the end, Reb Yitzchak Badit Shuvah made him a bal tshuva. What's the concept? The Marsha is up in arms on Reish Lakish. Marsha says, Lo yei chayti nisker, it's not fear, you're a goody-goody your whole life. Oh, this man is a Rasha, and suddenly all of his sins become mitzvahs. So he has more sins, he has more mitzvahs than a tzaddik can ever have. Every time he ate pork, he gets a mitzvah. Every time he ate shrimp, is a mitzvah. Every sin in the book is now a mitzvah. So the pshat is, it says in Svarim, the Tanya says this, many Svarim explain, Gevaldik Avart, what is it? The koyach of tshuva out of love redefines the past. You know why? Because it teaches you that what looked like Ur with an iron was really Ur with an Aleph. What looked like a klipa that eclipsed was really a klipa that communicated. What does this mean practically? What it means is, when you do tshuva out of love, something is created in the person that doesn't only define the future, but it defines the past. Because there is a new level of awareness, a new level of ahava, a new level of yearning, of an appreciation of truth, that is fueled as a result of every mistake you ever made. When you manage to convert negative energy and transform it, the positive energy has an energy that is rare, it's exceptional, because the negativity that's transformed into positivity creates a different positivity. The pasuk says in Kehelet, Yisrin ha'or mitoich ha'choshech. So literally it's translated, you get to see the advantage of light when you contrast it with darkness. The Hasidic masters explain, Yisrin ha'or min ha'choshech is, the greatest oir is the oir that comes mitoich ha'choshech. When the choshech becomes a catalyst for oir. This Baal Tshuva Me'ava, what happens now is, every time he sinned, even though it was a sin which distanced him from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but now retroactively, it became the catalyst, the springboard, the fuel that gives him a whole new appreciation of what life is, of what godliness, of what truth is, because he tasted the poison, because he was stranded in a desert without water for days. When he is given the water, the way he clamors to that water, the way he embraces the water, is in a way that nobody else can ever appreciate the water in that way, because he knows what the opposite is. So suddenly now, the Aveira became the prerequisite, the springboard for a whole new experience of Avas Hashem. Of course, when he did the Aveira, it was an Aveira. But now when he does Tshuva, Rish Lakish says, Zdoinis Nasa like Zachias. You know, they tell the classic story about the legendary head of IBM, Thomas Watson. It's a fascinating story. At one occasion, there was a senior manager in IBM who made a very serious business error that cost the company $10 million. So Thomas Watson summoned him to his office, and the manager looks at him, and with tears in his eyes, he says, I guess you want my resignation. And you're right. Watson looks at him and says, are you crazy? We have just spent $10 million educating you. A mistake is a mistake if it remains a mistake. But what if the mistake provides you with an education that you would have never had the ability to receive without the mistake? Then it may be that this mistake was the best thing you ever did in your life. It may be that this zodin was the greatest mitzvah he could have done. Because this is ultimately what led him on the path that made him discover truth in a whole new way. This doesn't justify the sin, but it tells you what the power of tshuva afterwards is, not only to reach into the future, to reach into the past. Retroactively, it's a whole different experience. A Meister Shahaya. I want to tell you a Meister that happened. A chemist had been working for a long time developing a new bonding agent, a glue. He was working very hard. He wanted to develop this Gewaldica glue. After years of hardship, the work was complete. He tried it out. It didn't stick. What's the use of glue that doesn't stick? Most people would have taken it, cast it into the dustbin for eternity, and go to therapy for 20 years to deal with failure. What a disappointment. Time, energy, resources, money, hope, all wasted. But this young chemist thought otherwise. Instead of deciding that his work was a failure, he asked himself, what if it was perhaps a success? What if I have discovered a solution? The only thing left to do is discover the problem. The solution I found. Now I need the problem. He refused to give up. He kept on asking himself, what is the use of an underachieving glue? What is the use of an inferior adhesive? What's the use of it? And eventually he found it, and it became a huge commercial success. They're little, and they stick, but not too hard. And that's how Post-it notes were invented. You look at your life, you look at your loved one's life, you could see failure, you could see negativity, and it's true, you see klipa. What was the power of Reb Meir? Reb Meir didn't deny that Acher fell into a spiritual abyss. But Reb Meir had the oy, the ability to be able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam everywhere. HaMeir La'aretz V'Ladorim Aleh, to be able to see godliness everywhere, and that means purpose everywhere, and that means goodness everywhere, and that means meaning everywhere, and that means even when I'm looking at something that is kosnas or that completely eclipses God, I have the ability to be able to see it ultimately as an opportunity for a new and deeper dveikus, for a new and a deeper connection, for fulfilling my purpose, even if it requires transformation. In the klipa itself, I see the opportunity for a depth that comes particularly from that space, from Zdoinus Nasa like Zachias. So when Rabbah asks Eliyahu Hanavi, what is Hashem doing? He says, Hashem can't quote Reb Meir. You know why? He's teaching Acher. Hashem is Kiddusha. Hashem is holiness. Hashem is Torah. Hashem is mitzvahs. Hashem is not quoting Acher. Hashem says, you bring the Karban Pesach in the month of Nisan. But the people, there are people who are Tameh. There are people who are impure. Or there are people who are Bederech Rechaika. They're lost in a distant path. And they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Lamanigara, we also want to be connected. This can't come from Hashem himself. Hashem doesn't tell you, go sin, and then do tshuva. If Hashem tells you to go sin, it's not a sin. The power of tshuva is that the failure becomes a catalyst for Avodas Hashem. It's the darkness that transformed into light. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't create darkness. This comes from the people. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, Hashem can't teach what Reb Meir says. So Rabbi tells Eliyahu HaNavi, Reb Meir? Toichel yachol uklipasi zarak. For Reb Meir, what he hears in Elisha's ben Avuya's words, for Reb Meir, there's no ra. Reb Meir right away sees the toiv, the alakos, the toiv, the kedusha, because klipasi zarak, he got rid of the klipa long ago. Eliyahu HaNavi says, you know what? God is actually quoting Reb Meir. He's quoting Reb Meir. This is the initiation that comes malmata from the person. So now, let's come back to Pesach Sheni. Is there a better source to teach us that ein mukdam u'me'ucher b'Torah than Pesach Sheni? There's no such a thing in Torah. It's too late. There's no such a thing in Torah. Mukdam. It happened long ago. We're just playing out the script. This is how it is. Ein mukdam u'me'ucher b'Torah. Torah is not bound to the shackles of chronology. Torah is not bound to the shackles of history. Torah is not bounding you to the fact and saying, this is the past, this must be the present, and this must be the future. In the world of Torah, Mikan Lamadata, Rashi says, Halamadata, from here you learn, Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah. Tshuva means return, not just return to God, return also to the past. There's no muktam and ma'uchar. This happened before. This happened later. It's out of order. How can it be out of order? Ba'aloyscha really happened before Bamidbar. Because the power of Pesach Sheni allows you to go back into a situation that seems not here anymore and redefine the past in order that you should be able to recreate your future. Have a wonderful week. Yeah. 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 Yeah.